Corona Quarantine 2020. What did you do? Nothing, probably. Well, mostly me too. That doesn't mean you can't eat healthy and eat things that are good for you. You're getting Uber Eats every day. What are you doing? You're wasting a bunch of money, number one, and you're eating like a monster. Come on, man. Have some self-pride. Have some self-respect. Try NTT Nutrition. Check them out at nttfitness.com. They got good food. They got things that are good for you, and they are delivered right to your door, just like Uber Eats. Same thing, but you're eating things. You're eating macros and micros, whatever the hell that means. I don't know. I just eat it, and I know I feel better, and believe it or not, I'm actually looking better too. Check it out. Use my code LEVELUP15 at checkout and get 15% off your first order, nttfitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Pete Holmes, I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Get out the way, get out the way, get out the way, yeah. Yeah. Get out the way, get the f*** up on my way, yeah. Yeah. You either with me or against me, though. You either.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com. Twitter, Instagram, home_made_man. That's how you can find me. The Homemade Broadcast at RadioSaintPete.com. If you want to send me an email, happy to speak with you. Welcome back to the program. I hope you're well. I'm doing fine. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good, and I'll tell you why. Yes, the world is, if not ending, changing radically. There's going to be new things taking place in the next couple months. Maybe for the better. Let's look positively. Perhaps this will be a good thing, maybe. But I'll tell you what, the Tampa Bay Rays are the AL East champs. That's pretty cool. It drives me insane, though, because I know that there's going to be an asterisk by the season. And it's a shame because they had such a good team. You wonder what they could have done if it was just a normal baseball season. Some people argue that baseball season's too long as it is. Maybe they're right. Maybe this will be a new way of proceeding, making baseball, you know, just the, what did they play, 60 games or something? I gotta admit, I didn't really watch any of it this year, though. I watched a few games when they first started. I just didn't feel, I don't, even football, too, is the same thing. Even though this is, like, the most exciting season ever for Bucks fans outside of that Super Bowl season. You know, you got Tom Brady in effect. I'm not used to football being here yet, and everything just feels, I don't know, it's not normal. It's not a normal year. So sports just seem, I don't know, different. But the Rays did win the AL East, and right now I think they have the number one seed in the American League. So that's pretty awesome. I can't wait to see what happens in the playoffs. Hopefully they win the World Series. The Tampa Bay Lightning are in the Stanley Cup Finals, and they're getting it done so far. With Dallas, I don't know what's happened since I recorded this, but they just finished game 3 when I'm recording this, and Tampa Bay kicked their ass. So that's fun. That's cool. I have been watching hockey, a lot of hockey. I mean, playoffs have been on for a long time. It feels like months it's been playoff hockey, but that's exciting. And, you know, again, there's going to probably be an asterisk next to that Stanley Cup winner, whoever that is, because it's a weird season. It's a unique season. So very exciting, though. The Buccaneers are finally starting to play well. They had their they beat the Carolina Panthers, who's, you know, Carolina Panthers suck, and whoever they played this week. Oh, the Denver Broncos. I'm assuming we probably kicked their ass. I'm recording this on the 24th, and the game is on Sunday, so I don't know if they won or not, but I'm assuming they kicked their ass because they're playing the second-string quarterback and the Broncos aren't very good. So it's very exciting. I think that team's going to gel and finally come together, and I think they're going to do really well this year. It was a little scary after that first game, especially how they played the Saints, who were, like, you know, kind of favored to win our division, even with Tom Brady here. And Saints looked good, but then they played the Raiders the next week, and it didn't look so good. So I'm like, uh-oh. But I think the Buccaneers just need to, you know, you're not having the preseason. A lot of players hate preseason, you know, games, because they run the risk of getting hurt, and then they, you know, their year's done, and this would have been a good year to prove their worth, to get a big contract. So I get why players don't like preseason, but I think it really does help. So we're heading into, like, week three of, like, well, actually playing in games, but you don't have that game experience in the preseason. That doesn't mean anything. So, you know, there's a lot of drops, a lot of probably dudes, like, not in shape yet, you know, but now we're getting to the point where, like, yeah, they're going to start clicking, they're going to start moving, and I think it's going to be a good season for the Buccaneers and Tampa Bay. I mean, this is going to be title town, right? Everybody's going to win a championship. Every championship will have an asterisk next to it. It'll be great. It'll be fun. This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. TRUV is in victory. YSalonandSpa.com. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Make your appointment today. Truvy, TRUV is in victory. YSalonandSpa.com. And if you're feeling generous, you can head over to hmbradio.com/donate. Throw a few bucks in the tip jar over there. There's a Venmo. There's a PayPal. A few of you have done that, and I appreciate it. You don't have to, obviously, but if you want to, it's there, and I thank you for doing it. So this week, oh my God, a lot of stuff happened in St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay this week. St. Petersburg made national news this week because the Breonna Taylor conclusion of the investigation happened. That happened in Louisville, the lady that was killed by a shootout in Louisville in March. The investigation finally wrapped up, and the city of Louisville, a few days before it was announced, said, we're going to go ahead and declare state of emergency, which you go, uh-oh, they're not going to get their way. These people are demanding that the cops be charged in her death. I didn't really know too much about it. It was one of those things where it's like, I'll just wait. I'm going to reserve my judgment and find out what happened after the investigation is wrapped up, and we'll see. And I'm glad I did, because what a mess that whole thing was. And the media, how they really, you want to say, like, there needs to be some sort of repercussions for media in this whole thing, because they framed it as, what I knew about the story was that police served a no-knock warrant and started shooting in this house and killed this lady in her bed, and she was totally innocent, and that's what I knew about it. I went, well, that's terrible. You know, no-knock warrants are, I'm not in favor of that. You know, even the Russian secret police would knock before they came and got you in the middle of the night, so I was like, yeah, that's not good. Well, so let's see what happens. I'm going to wait, though, and just abstain for the time being until we figure out exactly what happened in this case. And during an independent investigation, they found that they did have a no-knock warrant, but they decided to knock. They decided not to use that, and they knocked, identified themselves, and I guess her boyfriend that was in the house didn't hear that the cops announced themselves. That's his story. And he shot, and the cop shot back, and unfortunately, this poor lady got struck in the crossfire. It's a tragedy. It really is. And no police were charged in for murder because the boyfriend shot first. I guess it was self-defense at that point. And of course, the people who have been rioting in the streets and protesting for March, I guess, since the beginning of the year, they knew that they were going to freak out. And sure enough, on Twitter, you just saw a U-Haul in Louisville as soon as they announced it. I saw they pulled up and started just unloading signs, abolish the police, etc., shields, water, and they were just going to, they were professional pro day. They had it all set up, very well organized, this thing. So, and then two cops got shot that night in Louisville. So it's a freaking mess, and we're at the point, we're in a post-truth world at this point. I talked to some of my friends about it, and we talked about the outcome of this investigation, and there were some of the things where they went, okay. But kind of the end of the conversation was, well, how can you trust the investigation? How do you know that's what really happened? I go, I don't know. Like, what else can you do? Is an independent investigation that concluded that the story that was put out in media was not the case. And I don't know what you do, but they were just kind of like, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that or not. Okay. But where do we go from here now? I mean, it's done. It's in the books. And I guess you can go out there and burn it down if you want to, but you can't expect people not to fight back at that point, and especially the state not to fight back. They're not going to let you tear down their buildings and wreck civilization and rebuild it in your own image. It's just not going to happen. So Louisville was chaos, you know, that night. And, the two cops got shot and, you know, whatever. But then even in St. Pete made local news and national and world news. I saw this video all over Twitter the night when it happened. I guess there was a protest that was organized downtown St. Petersburg, and a group of about 60 people went down Beach Drive and just started harassing people that were eating at the restaurants. I don't know what type of institutional power these people hold, or that the protesters think these people hold, but they're just citizens just like you. They can't do anything about this. Well, they want to make you uncomfortable. Okay, but why? These people don't have any say in what happened. You know, this happened in Louisville. I suppose these people would be better off going to at least a police department and voicing their displeasure, but the St. Petersburg Police Department had nothing to do with this either. So I don't understand, you know, what the motivation is of just harassing people. And, you know, we're very close to an election here, 40-something days. This is not going to look good for Joe Biden. And, you know, Trump is claiming to be the law and order guy. And videos like this I'm about to play here in a minute of, you know, rowdy kids is what they were, going up and screaming at citizens for no reason. Like I said, these people have nothing to do with it. They're just going out and having dinner. The audacity to go out to dinner, I guess, during times like this. I don't know. But, there is an election coming up in a few weeks in a swing state, in a swing county in Pinellas County. There's a lot of people in Pinellas County voting. And it's just not smart. Not smart moves here. I know, obviously, that political parties don't really have control over, you know, small groups and what they decide to do, but man, it was a silly thing to do for these kids, and it's just dummies not thinking about what they're doing and being anger and having righteous anger and in their minds righteous anger. And so let's play this report from Fox 13, and they're going to tell us what happened in St. Petersburg with protesters yelling at old people.
Dan, good morning. Larry, good morning to you. These two confrontations caught on camera last night in St. Petersburg by Tampa Bay Times reporter Josh Fiala. Let's show you that first clip here. Go ahead and roll it. Shows protesters last night on Beach Drive. They get into some sort of confrontation with a couple eating dinner outside. And I just want to make it clear, we don't know what happened before record was pushed here, but you can see two protesters sitting at their table as the woman gets up angrily and says, "This is my table," and then tries to force him out. Let's go to the second video. Again, we don't know what led up to this, but you can see protesters beating and standing on this car. Another protester throwing a skateboard at the vehicle as it drives away. St. Pete Mayor Rick Kreisman put out this tweet saying, and I quote, "In St. Petersburg, we support peaceful protests. We will never support or tolerate lawbreakers who wish to dishonor the life of Breonna Taylor or anyone else. We will never support those who set out to hurt the cause and prevent progress," end quote. Earlier this week, Governor Ron DeSantis announced legislation that would impose penalties on violent protesters, and while critics believe this violates a person's right to assemble peacefully, the law would make it a felony when a large group of seven or more cause damage to property or injure to somebody. It would also make it a felony to block roadways during an unlawful protest, and the bill would create a mandatory minimum six-month jail sentence for striking an officer during a protest. We've reached out to Mayor Rick Kreisman as far as the St. Pete, what happened in St. Petersburg last night. Laura, we've reached out to Mayor Rick Kreisman, his staff telling me that he's going to be having a briefing this morning with the Chief of Police, Anthony Holloway. We are expecting comment later today. We're on top of all of it, and we'll keep you updated.
What was interesting about that, too, was there was a clip of protesters on Beach Drive harassing these older folks, and then there was another incident with a car, and a car was trying to get through. They were blocking the intersection, and it was the same guy who sat at the table, the same kid who sat at the table and started screaming at these people and threatened to knock the old guy out. That's a direct quote. Was also the guy climbing on top of the car. So it's a few, as I guess they say, troublemakers that are instigating this whole thing. And it was a man, he was clutching a skateboard, and he was filmed by the Tampa Bay Times. He strolled up and sat with a couple at their outdoor table as dozens chanted at the edge of the St. Pete restaurant, and the lady got upset, and I think reasonably so. And this was kind of a thing. You saw it in New York, was it Albany a few weeks ago, where they went into the restaurants and started drinking people's drinks and, you know, screaming at them. And I think these kids see this stuff and go, "That's a good idea. I'm going to start doing that." And the older lady said, "No, this is my table." And the male diner hugged his wife, and she started to call the police as the initial diner crasher, and another woman started hurling the abuse. And the guy says, "I ought to knock your old-ass boyfriend the F out," the man threatened as he derided the woman as a wild Karen in her natural effing habitat. Now, she didn't go pick the fight. These guys went and picked the fight. And it's amazing how they'll scream out in pain while they strike you. Another lady said, "Your ugly-ass white boyfriend," I believe was a quote from her. And the table was surrounded by these dumb kids. The threatened man was filmed smiling at the bemusement as more protesters appeared to gather around the table, including one continually blowing a horn. He had like a shofar, like the Jewish shofar. He was just blowing that thing at him. It garnered 1.8 million views on Twitter in less than 12 hours. Reporter Josh Fiala, who filmed the clip, said some diners had yelled back at protesters starting multiple confrontations, but he was not sure why the couple was targeted. And that's reporting from the New York Post. So way to go, St. Pete. We made national and world news this week. Fantastic. And earlier this week, Ron DeSantis did put forward new legislation that I guess has yet to be voted on, but it is the Combating Violence, Disorder, and Looting and Law Enforcement Protection Act. Basically, I don't get this whole thing with blocking cars on the interstates. I mean, first of all, these protesters are putting their lives at danger. They don't seem to be very afraid for their own lives, which is crazy. I mean, people have died in Seattle, you know, doing this dancing on the freeway, and some guy just busts through the barricade and killed just a lady because she was dancing in the street. And I don't see that, and I've heard that being called peaceful protests, but that's not peaceful. Stopping your way of movement, your freedom of movement, is not a peaceful act. I mean, it's stopping people from getting where they need to be going. Screaming at old people on the side of the road have nothing to do with this. That's not peaceful. Going over, pulling down your mask and screaming at these old people who are at higher risk for coronavirus that is still around, that's not peaceful. And I think that Florida is looking at other cities across the country, you know, Portland and New York, and they're being declared like anarchist zones by the Department of Justice. It's wild. And all these cities, you know, blew up last night too. It's crazy. So they put forward this legislation. Not everybody's happy about it. Some say, as we heard in that report, that it's going to stop people's ability to peacefully protest. But I look at this stuff and my friends are freaking out about it. And I'm just like, what's the big deal here? It's prohibition on violent or disorderly assemblies. Third degree felony when seven or more persons are involved in an assembly and cause damage to property or injury of other persons. That's not peaceful protesting. If you're causing damage to property or injury, it's prohibition of obstructing roadways. Third degree felony to obstruct traffic during an unpermitted protest, demonstration, or violently or disorderly assembly. Driver is not liable for injury or death caused by fleeing for safety from a mob. It's not saying you can run them over, but if they start attacking your car, then you better get the hell out of there. Again, that's not peaceful. Prohibition on destroying or toppling monuments. Second degree felony to destroy public property during a violent or disorderly assembly. Again, it's in the name. Violent and disorderly is not peaceful. Prohibition to harass in public accommodations. First degree misdemeanor for a participant in a violent or disorderly assembly to harass or intimidate a person at a public accommodation, such as a restaurant, like happened last night. Again, not peaceful. RICO liability. RICO liability reaches to anyone who organizes or funds a violent or disorderly assembly. This would lead to increased penalties, mandatory minimum jail sentence, striking a law enforcement officer, including a projectile with a violent or disorderly or during a violent or disorderly assembly, 6 months mandatory minimum jail sentence. Offense enhancement, enhancements, offense and or sentence enhancements for one, throwing an object during a violent or disorderly assembly that strikes a civilian or law enforcement officer, blah, blah, blah. You get it. Now, I'm not a big fan of the state either. I'm, you know, them taking advantage of situations. I don't like the government. I don't like, I like individual officers, but I don't like cops particularly either. I've met some cops who are great guys, you know, and as an individual basis, but I'm not a big fan of the system in general, but I'm also not a fan of raging mobs that just get to do whatever they want too. Yeah, we're not doing that. And you can't protect yourself. You're not allowed to do it. So I don't know. I see this and I just go, yeah, that sounds okay to me. I know some big names have come out against it. It's Guglielmi, the Pinellas sheriff, and Chronister had some concerns with it. This from the Tampa Bay Times. After reviewing a list of proposals released by the governor's office, the Pinellas sheriff said he supported the governor's proposal as a concept to curb potential violence or harassment, but he wants to learn more about them before throwing his full support or opposition behind specific items. He said he questioned what the word mob means and how it would be used and defined under the law, and he had reservations about the bill's bail provision. He said he can see merit in holding demonstrators participating in violent uprisings overnight to keep them from returning to the protests and causing more problems. And you saw this in Portland. They would just, you know, arrest them and then immediately cut them loose, and then they would go back and you know, riot again. In fact, he did so to more than 30 protesters who were arrested in an unlawful assembly charges in the first few days of protests in St. Petersburg. Several demonstrators who spoke to the Times denied that they were involved in any violence, and prosecutors have since dropped the charges. He said if someone is simply yelling, withholding bail may go too far. Yeah, I agree with that. He said he looks forward to being part of the bill crafting process as the Florida Sheriff's Association County Chair. Pinellas Pasco State Attorney Bernie McCabe said Tuesday he hadn't seen the legislation, and based off the description of it, it is going to have to be tailored so it does not infringe on the First Amendment rights. Okay, yeah, I agree with that 100%. But on it, you know, just looking at it, we have to determine what's peaceful and what's not, and that's what our legislature's for. So good luck, and yeah, this has got to stop. This is ridiculous. Harassing grandma and grandpa, you know, for going out, having the audacity to go have dinner is, we can't tolerate that. And blocking traffic too, enough with that. That's stupid. And it's going to get people killed, and most likely it's going to get protesters killed. And believe it or not, people do value their lives and don't want people dead. So enough with that. There's a big difference between a real protest and being a douchebag. 813-693-2124-HMBRadio.com. I'd like to hear what you think. Tweet at me, home_made_man. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. 813-693-2124.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
How many months has it been since we've been broken up? Feels like forever and also no time at all. Ooh, I like that. That's a good level right there.
When was it? June?
Yeah.
So like 3 or 4 months now?
Do you miss me a lot less?
I'm used to it. I wouldn't say I'm getting more used to it. It was a... Like it was kind of scary to just jump into that role like that with having, you know, I've filled in for you a few times.
Sure.
But when you're kind of expected, when you're a seat two, you have way more responsibilities that's what I want to do. So I was like kind of excited to be able to do that. But also it was a little nerve wracking. And it was also big shoes to fill. You always had that, you know, listeners get accustomed to hearing a certain thing.
Sure.
And when they don't hear it anymore, they go, what the hell? This sucks now. And they're just not used to it. And I actually figured this out. It was when The Bone got Roger and JP from to replace. I think it was Shannon Burke who was here at the time.
And what was that? That was before I got there. So it must have been at least 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And people were just like crapping all over Roger and JP in these Facebook comments.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, everybody loves Roger and JP.
Yeah, they're the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, so that's when I figured out, like, oh, they'll just get used to it. Okay. That would really have affected me if it was, you know, if I didn't see that post. That was one of those things I just learned and picked up. Because it's like, oh, they hate me. I suck. You know, it's like, I don't suck. It's just, you know, some people think I suck, and that's fine. You're it's just an acquired taste.
Sure. Well, everybody has their favorites, and some people that you think are great, other people hate. It's just a... You like them or you hate them, or maybe you're indifferent about them. It's good that people either like you or they hate you, is what I learned in radio.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
As long as they have something to say about you.
I got this Facebook message from this guy. I put it up on Instagram. You probably saw it, but it was like, I was like, oh, a message from the fans. It was just like a message in my Facebook Messenger, and it was like, Will, and then he spelled my name because it's very familiar with the lady's body part. He just said, Will, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And you think he said F you or something, like something ridiculous. I was like, what the hell? But I got a big kick out of it. But
those are fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't respond to it. I thought about it, but I figured it's probably best not to engage with folks like that.
You can't explain anything. If you want to come back, if you want to have like a rebuttal to that, you got to just go, thanks, or something along those lines, but you can't get mad.
Thanks for tuning in. That's a classic.
Yes, yeah. Thanks for listening.
Oh, I'm not.
Appreciate you. Okay, love you.
You obviously know.
Bye, sweetheart. Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, it's weird, but it was a little strange. It was a little weird, but I'm getting more used to it, and like people used to ask, you know, and rightfully so, where you were.
Yeah.
A lot, and we still sometimes get people calling in asking where you are.
But it's less. And
they're like, and I mean, that's just part of the game, you know.
It's weird.
And people figure it out, like they know where you're at now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just
no
like,
secret.
Okay, yeah.
We're not secretive about our relationship, and we're not romantically engaged, but, you know, and that's nice because it was worsome for a while. We make jokes about how it felt like we were gay in the 80s because...
Yeah. In the 60s,
if you don't know or you haven't investigated Tampa talk radio politics, it goes pretty hard in the paint.
It does.
Yeah, there's a lot of rivalries. There's a lot of history stuff before I even dipped my toes into radio that was going on. So it was a little scary for both of us to be like, hey, is it cool if we still work together? Because we're not.
Well, geez, even like be friends together, for God's sake.
Right.
I mean, like, we worked together for a period of time, but you became one of my best friends during that time. So it was like, I still want to, like, hang out with you and talk to you and stuff. And I felt like initially I couldn't do that. And then I actually talked to one of the people at where I'm working and one of the big guys, and they were totally understanding about it, which I was like, oh my God, that's such a relief.
Yeah.
And like I told him, I was like, I felt like we were gay in the 60s, like having to hide a relationship. So they get it. They understand. That was good to know. And, you know, I don't flaunt it, I would say. I don't like tell everybody like, oh, I'm doing this with Anna this weekend. You know, I don't make it known.
But if I slip into a picture or a post, it's not devastating for you.
And like, I'm sorry, you know, I understand the beef there, but also I don't got anything to do with that aside from just being employed at a certain place. And like, it happens. These things do happen, but I was happy to know that, you know, we're kind of separated from it.
Like, and I've also talked to my people and they don't give an F at all.
Yeah.
They don't care. It has nothing to do with what they're involved in. Just because we work for, let's say, rival companies doesn't mean that we have anything to do with litigation or lawsuits or anything like that.
Right.
So it's nice.
That was good to know. So yeah, I'm happy how it worked out. You know, it's weird. Like, I only see you usually now once a week. Usually when we meet up for this, I used to see you every day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, a change.
I think we're in contact every day.
Yeah, I guess we text.
I send you, you know, the usual, you know,
Instagrams.
You know, like a morbidly obese women that have donuts on their breasts, things like that of that nature. And you send me people falling or political stuff. And that's just what we do.
Right.
And I still love looking at those posts, Will. It's still my thing where I see these women who are just, you know, morbidly overweight, and they're just flaunting it. And I know you feel the same way. You're like, I just wish I had an eighth of that confidence.
God.
Where do you find it? How do you get it? And I know there's body positivity. We've talked about that a lot, but I just feel like I have too much of a grip on reality. Is that rude to say?
No. I mean, I think that the current state of culture has spiraled people into living in their own fantasy lands.
Okay, good.
I mean, people, like, truth, there is no objective truth.
Truth is up anymore. For grabs.
It's up for grabs. Like, I had talked about in the previous segment that I was doing about the grand jury investigation, or whatever you call it, whatever the legal terminology is, of the Breonna Taylor case.
Yeah.
And how facts came out. And, like, I had talked to some of my friends about it, and they were like, yeah, but you don't know if that's really what happened.
Like, it went to trial.
You know, they had an investigation. Like, that's the best we got. Like, I guess fair enough. But, like, so what are we going to do here? But, and obviously it doesn't matter because people are burning things down over it. So we're living in a post-truth world at this point. You have so much information that you get, like, information blindness or something, where it's like the world is at your fingertips and you can look anything up.
Yeah.
But it's just lost in the weeds. You just tend to look for things that confirm your worldview for whatever reason.
It was really strange. I did see a bit of the statement made by the Attorney General of Kentucky, something Cameron. I don't know if you saw, he got a little choked up, and I thought it was really good that he was kind of explaining what the charges were, that none of the officers were directly charged with murdering her. You know, I think one guy was charged with, like, negligence, essentially, but nothing like first degree, second degree murder, not even manslaughter. Like, they were doing their job. They were responding to fire. And he finished saying that. And then afterwards he said something like, as a black man, this is upsetting to hear. And I was like, but your people, not hit your people being black people, but, like, you know, your state or whatever, the DOJ, whoever did the investigation, the police department, they came to the conclusion, like, they got all the evidence. And it was so weird what he said. He was like, it's really disheartening because of the evidence, as if the evidence got in the way of what he wanted to happen.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot.
Like,
a lot
I really wanted these guys to go to jail because that's what they, I guess, deserve in his eyes. But because the evidence showed that they clearly weren't looking to kill people that night, that somehow he was disappointed that the evidence showed that, in fact, they were innocent of not.
You should be relieved, right. I guess, really.
But it was a strange way to say, like, as a black man. It's like, why are we... I mean, I understand why you're bringing identity politics. Maybe it's kind of like giving a little bone to... So hopefully people don't burn down the whole system. So they go, he goes, I'm not happy about this sort of a thing. But it was really bizarre because it's like, don't... I mean, the truth, you know, we're in search of the truth, hopefully. And there was no evidence suggesting that they went into somebody's home and they were looking to kill a black woman in her sleep. Like, that wasn't what the... operation was. That's not what the motive was. So it was a really, really it's a really strange situation,
and it's just bizarre how, you know, with the internet you can just get into these bubbles and kind of slip into you'll have your confirmation bias that turns out you are right, even though all the evidence is pointing no, it's not the case, or, you know, you'd be like, well, they're lying or whatever. And
I even heard they had a no-knock warrant but knocked anyways and then announced their police presence.
And I actually heard that on an NPR podcast months ago, and I go, why isn't this more commonly known? I already talked about this, so I don't want to go into it too much, but when I first heard that story, I just heard what everybody else heard. I tend to just be dubious of those things when I hear it. I just don't believe everything at face value when I hear it. But when I heard that cops busted in, killed a lady in her bed, I was like, that's awful. And that's
in
me
her
is
sleep,
not being,
like,
yeah, not being a fan of the state. I'm like, that's criminal.
You don't like Kentucky?
You know, just the state.
Oh, sorry.
The big, the state.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha.
And that made me, you know, sick. But I go, let me just wait till everything comes out.
Yeah.
And it turned out it wasn't that. But like I said, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. That's what happened. I almost got beat up at work because some guy, you know, decided to drop some knowledge on me.
Yeah.
And it turned out that fact wasn't true. And it was because when I heard that, I go, that seems a little, it's just, something didn't just sit right with me. Don't take things at face value. I'm just not that person.
You should never take things at face value.
Nobody should. And it's so easy to look up this information. So I go, let me just Google that real quick. It doesn't take me a long time. It's not like, you know, you have to go to the library and go into an encyclopedia and open the book and turn it. Like, you have all this knowledge at your fingertips. Now, it's also curated by Google. So you have to go, well, maybe they have a bias or whatever. But this wasn't one of those things where I was worried that Google might have a bias. I just looked it up, and it's like, no, it's, you know, common misconception, this knowledge that he dropped on me. And all I did was go, hey, you know, that's not correct. Just so you know, I sent you some info about it. Because I thought, like, oh, if it were me, I'd want to know that something was wrong. You know, and be like, oh, crap, I, you know, turns out that's not true. That's not the reaction I got from this person. I got anger and fist clenched coming at me at work. And I was like, okay, this is not worth it anymore.
Attempted violence. I mean,
yeah. So it was not, people just slip into this thing. They don't care about what objective, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody has their own truth now. And you hear it all the time. Like, this is my truth. You know, you hear that phrase and you go, that's not the truth though. But it's like, it doesn't matter anymore.
It is bizarre. And then the other big story obviously is Ruth Bader Ginsburg filling that seat.
Yeah.
Which is strange that it's just really bizarre that her dying wish was for the net to wait till after the election, is that what you're thinking about as you're about to pass? I don't know.
Maybe she was a politically minded person in politics.
And this isn't even like a unique or an original thought, because I heard somebody else say it, but it was like one of those like, huh, because she spent allegedly her whole adult life, her whole professional career defending and upholding the Constitution. And in the Constitution, it says that, you know, you're supposed to fill the seat as quickly as possible. The president appoints and the Senate votes and approves.
That's just
it doesn't matter if it's in the lame duck period. It doesn't matter if it's in the first days of office, the last days of office. You're allowed to do whatever, you know, that's what it says in the Constitution. And she's asking, her dying wish allegedly is that she's asking them not to abide by the rules of the Constitution, which just seems a bit.
Yeah.
Doesn't add up.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. But even if she did say it, it doesn't matter. I mean, feelings are not what the law says, what the Constitution says.
A wish, you violate laws, you know. A wish is a request, and requests can be denied.
Yeah.
So, sorry, RBG, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just
that is what she said. I don't even know if that's what she said. There's no way to test it.
Right.
You know, there's no way to,
but it's just,
to investigate.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to the matter at hand. It doesn't matter. They're going to fill that seat. They have the votes. And, you know, the Democrats are going to kick and scream. and throw a tantrum. And Don Lemon said he was, that the system needs to be broken apart. They're talking about making D.C. a state, making Puerto Rico a state, and I guess like splitting California into three states or something in order to have a wide...
So that they win more?
So they'll win. Yeah. They're going to change the system so they win.
Yeah,
okay. Because they can't win elections. And this is like, this is the deal, guy. This is what the paperwork says. But it's not uncommon... You know, my friends are talking about how we need a new constitution. Constitution's outdated and it needs to be rewritten. And I'm going, what don't you like about the Constitution? I mean, there's some things like quartering soldiers or something where I could be like, okay, I guess
you can always add amendments. Like, that's what the amendments are for.
Yeah.
But you want to completely.
Like, the Bill of Rights is pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't, and they're
pretty
like, well, sweet. You know, yeah. And they're just like, well, you know, the Bill of Rights is just a piece of paper and doesn't really get its authority from anything. I'm like, well, it's a social contract or contract. Well, and
anything
people,
is right. Just that. Like, what is the stock it's market? New, what is currency? What is gold? You assign it value, obviously.
Right.
It's not intrinsically valuable. People assign things value.
Yeah. And I had to tell them, you know, that my rights are not up for a debate, let alone a vote. I would just say no, a hard no to rewriting a constitution.
So riddle me this. People who want to wait till after the election, well, what if the president gets reelected? Like,
well, then
it seems like they're not even considering that that's a possibility.
It's just a move, like it's a strategy move.
Let's wait
until
after the election when he gets reelected, and then we can get upset again. Like,
well, everybody seems to think that Joe's going to get elected.
Yeah,
so
we'll see about that.
I had a long conversation with a buddy of mine about what, and we concluded, and he asked me, what if gun to your head? I don't really plan on voting this time. I think I'm sitting it out.
I thought you were prostituting your vote, like we discussed last time.
I might. I'm okay. Considering. Okay. I don't know. Ethically, even though it's $200 and I could definitely use it, allegedly, if this did happen, not saying it did. I don't know. I just don't feel good about it.
Okay, fair enough.
So I don't know if I would accept that. But if you have a better offer for me, you can tweet me at @home_made_man if you wanted to bid on who you want me to vote for. And I'll consider it, allegedly. And so he concluded, he asked me, like, gun to your head, which do you think would be better for the country of who were to win?
Oh, Biden or Trump?
With Biden or Trump. And, you know, I worry what will happen. They've already pulled out all the stops with the current president that we have now. And I think things would have some sort of normalcy. At least the press would calm down. If Biden were president, it would just be like Obama was president again, where they ask him, like, sir, how was your basketball game today?
Right, right.
You know, it would be that kind, those kinds of questions. So they would not shrieking and pulling their hair out and scaring everybody with their stories that they put out daily. So I was like, well, maybe it'd be better for the country if Biden was the president. And it's hard for some people to theorize this, but really, I mean, the system, it's the same coin, it's just different sides of the same coin.
Yeah,
they broker power with each other, and they don't let it slip. Like, I know people are worried about these radicals slipping into the AOC, and maybe she will, I don't know, but she would have to normalize a little bit, go to the middle a little bit more, be a corporate player.
We're not
she
going could, back to brunch, Will.
No,
we're not going back to brunch.
We're definitely not. So even if she did get in some sort of position of real power, I mean, she's a Congress lady, which is a lot of power, but people are worried that we're just going to turn into like a communist state. Like, you talk to older, like your parents or something, they worry that Joe Biden was going to bring in, and it's like, Joe Biden
won't, but again, it's like, this is kind of what it reminds me of. It's like placating a kid with candy. Is candy the best thing for the kid? No, but the kid stops screaming, and you're like, just be quiet. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. But then if the kid gets a little bit, then the kid, you know, tries to get more and screams harder, and it becomes louder. And if you're used to just being enabled and placated all the time, that's really not a good system either, because then it's like, okay, well, just pick the guy that people complain about less, even if it's maybe not best for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it is or isn't, but I understand what you're saying, because I do think things would calm down. Or maybe not. Like, maybe you'd see the revolt of the right. We don't know. But I think it would be less, what's the word? It would be less tumultuous than it is now. But then I'm thinking, how could it get worse? But, you know, we always say that.
I think even if it was some sort of revolt on the, of like Trump people or something, that they all got their guns and started lining up in the streets, I think they would just mow them down with machine guns. And the revolution would be squelched immediately. And they would go, well, a bunch of Nazis were, you know, coming to attack the president. So, and then everybody would just, the press would just be like, yeah, that's what happened. And tell everybody that. And that's how the history books would be written. So I don't think that would happen. I was reading this book from 1935. And they were talking about how it's amazing how history tends to repeat itself. And he was talking about how Lenin knew in the Russian Revolution that you had to demoralize police and military if you wanted to make any sort of revolution possible. And that this guy, Albert J. Nock, who wrote this book, thought that it wouldn't happen here in America because there's been plenty of riots. There's been plenty of, and most of these people tend to be disarmed. They don't really have guns. Mm. You know, they're on the left side of the spectrum, so they're not really big on gun rights. You got those weirdos who are kind of in the guns on the left, but they're such a minority.
They are.
So they have these crude weapons, like we're seeing in Portland, where they throw Molotov cocktails. Mm-hmm. Brought up Coakley's army, where they marched on D.C. in 1900s. And they still kept it, it was a revolt, an army that marched on Washington, but they still kept off the grass, as he put it. Like, they didn't go on the grass.
Yeah, I think if Biden won, I probably shouldn't have used the word revolt. I don't think that there would be a revolt, but I think that there would be rallies and things like that, much like you saw when Trump was inaugurated, and there was, like, that big march on Washington with the women and stuff like that.
I mean, it's just people to scream, scream and yell and get their emotion out, but they don't do anything. They're not... You know, this week I got really annoyed. I have some really smart friends, and they're just so...
You could say dumb.
Dumb with some stuff. I mean, not dumb. It's just useless. And, like, I make fun of them for it. Like, they're just posting memes about, we need to mobilize on Instagram.
Call your senators.
It's like, I've been posting memes all weekend, and the politicians I don't like are still not doing what I want them to do. Wait, this is messed up.
They say post memes?
Posting memes.
That's the answer?
That's what they do, yeah. And it's like, this does nothing. And I'm teasing them about it, like making fun of them. And one of my friends is like, yeah, I deserve the Nobel Peace Prize. Like, they know it's useless, but they keep going.
Yeah.
And it's like, who are you talking to? And it must be some sort of human psychology that they're tapping into. Like, people must be giving them some sort of thumbs up for it or something.
They're operating in an echo chamber.
Right.
So people are... But they're... Patting them on the back, they pat other people on the back, and it just feels good.
But I'm making fun of them, so it's not a complete echo chamber. Like, I'm telling you, it's ridiculous, and they're in agreement.
A
lot
of them, or at least the people. I feel like, I mean, you make fun of them. Do you make fun of them on social media? Like, do you? I feel like you're not getting in Facebook wars.
Yeah, I'm not going to go after them. So, personally, I will.
Sure. But publicly, they think it's a good look, and other people pat them on the back, and it's just a big, you know, circle J. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, I don't know. It's super annoying, and I do wonder what's going to happen. But that seat's going to get filled.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, I don't think Trump has anything to lose at this point. And this is the Senate. Mitch McConnell might be. This is the thing, too. They're saying, like, this is Trump's thing. But this is a separate branch of government. Trump just says, hey, how about this person, which he's told by somebody else in the swamp, like, you should pick this person.
Yeah.
And they go, okay.
Well, it helps him out because they're like, this is a conservative. Rally the base. Like,
right. So they're going to nominate the person. They're going to have the votes. And
it's going to be a lady.
And it's going to be a lady.
Might
it's
be a Cuban.
It could be from Florida. Yeah. Yep. That's an Amy Barrett is the other person that's been floated.
Seven kids. What are you doing?
She's banging.
Wrap it up.
She's getting it on. She's
Wrap
Catholic.
Wrap it up, bitch.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's just going to happen, and they're going to throw a tantrum, and they say they're going to pack the courts and delegitimize the courts after that.
Or they want to add justices. They want to change the number of justices on the court.
And just add more, which then I think if, you know, the right got in power again, they would just add more. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think we're getting to a tipping point here where if it does continue, we're just going to have a peaceful divorce and say, listen, we have radically different views about what's happening and what reality is. So why don't we go our own ways here and just see ya and just dissolve the union and not be a union anymore? I think that could be an answer. Well, who knows? We will see. The first debate is coming up on when this is released today. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm predicting that Joe Biden might, in fact, literally defecate in his pants. I'm not kidding, unfortunately, and I'm not even saying that to be funny. I think it's very sad, but we'll see. I know The Bone is going to do some sort of election coverage So if you are, I think Johnny and I will be on right after the debates on the whatever date that is. I don't know. I can look it up. I have the power. On the 29th, I believe we will be live after the debate on 102.5 The Bones. Do check that out. That should be interesting. I'm going to watch it, and I'll have some instant feedback. And with that, I'm going to leave. I want to say thank you, Anna. Follow her at Anna Hummel Radio. You can follow me at home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. HMB Radio on Facebook. Radio St. Pete. This is Radio St. Pete across pretty much every platform that there is. So follow them. And check out NTT Fitness. Check out Truvy Salon and Spa. Check out HMBRadio.com. Subscribe to this podcast if you haven't. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. I'll talk to you very soon. Adios.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.